TJ Miller is going to join us in studio. Always funny. And we'll do the news as well. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
The Adam Carolla Show presents TJ Miller's birthday cocktail party for June 4th. Let's see who's invited. First up, we welcome King George III. Time to widen the doorway. The former fattest man in the world, weighing in at 1,091 pounds. American Robert Earl Hughes. USA. USA. American actor John Barrymore is here. Bruce Dern just joined the party. From the mamas and the papas, Michelle Phillips. Actor Keith David is here. Comedian Rob Hubel. And that's pretty much it. You got a king, a fat guy, and a few actors. TJ Miller on the Adam Carolla Show.
TJ in the studio.
Angelina Jolie was one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they're not. That's not as funny.
Is she on there?
I didn't see her. I could have missed her.
We got to check our staff on that one. Dear Jonah is the name of the comedy special. I watched it in its entirety last night. Very funny. Full special available for free on YouTube. It is out as we speak. Jonah was a special heckler.
A special kind of individual.
And the show took a turn. I think you were talking about cargo shorts or cargo pants.
Yeah, that's right, cargo pants.
And a voice rang out from the audience.
And so what happened, and that I love so much, is that, I mean, you know, you've taped specials, and you go in there, and you hope, I taped four shows in Nashville, Tennessee, and you hope that you'll get that one audience, that one show that's going to be the foundation of the special, and that you're going to sort of, you know, cherry pick from the other shows, and then put it all together and kind of Frankenstein a special. Mm-hmm. That's what I was expecting to do, is going to be called the Pandemic Special. And what ended up happening is, and this is so ironic because it is kind of, it's ironic because it happened second show Friday. So we all know that the second show Friday is the most difficult show. And in Nashville, Tennessee, I expected it to be. Nashville, Tennessee is a bachelorette party that has a city inside of it, right? That's all it is.
Yes.
And so I kind of figured, look, this second show, it might go off the rails. If so, then I'm just going to riff, and then we'll get that on with six cameras. And the director said, no, really, we didn't get in this first show. You only got three more. Can you just do your set? I said, well, that's not who I am. So that's, we'll see. And then, Adam, I walked out for the second show Friday expecting to just be drunk, and it was an amazing audience. All of a sudden, I go, this is the best audience. The special is going to be this, I think. And this is the audience. And then some guy in the front row started heckling. And I'm like, oh God, this is off. And I said, I'm just gonna ignore him. But then he kept heckling, but it was like that heckle where you're so drunk that you forget there are other people there and you're just with TJ Miller in your own living room. And so he's kind of talking to me, but out loud, like, that's true. I've had that experience.
All right.
Yeah. He goes, oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I agree. And so finally I go, all right, I just got to engage him. And I say to him, you know, so you're wearing cargo pants. What kind of cargo are you carrying? What's your haul? What's your freight?
Right.
And he answers as to why he's wearing cargo pants. And it's this long, elaborate answer where he's really stuttering kind of. And immediately you realize, oh, this guy is not drunk. He is developmentally challenged. He's, he's special needs. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that people would be upset that we're even saying it that way. I know you love the culture that's all worried about ableism.
No one who listens.
Neurodivergent.
And I think it's my neuropsychologist. She said to me, no, yeah, we don't call them special needs anymore. We call them intellectually deficient.
Oh, that's really offensive.
That's awful. That's worse. Well, doesn't work.
I don't like
I think that one's so awful because it's like he's a little slow. No, he stopped.
Yeah, I
he
know.
Is currently not moving and never will.
It's like waiter and server, Negro, black. I mean, some of the stuff's a lateral move at best.
Yeah, it really, really
I don't
is.
Get, I don't get
but it's so deficient. Anyway, all I knew was that suddenly we have this guy and it was – and everybody immediately knew. They're like, oh, my God, this guy is autistic or Down syndrome, whatever. And there's so much tension in the room because they were like, what's TJ going to do?
Yeah.
TJ's in Ehrlich in Silicon Valley. He's famous for the Deadpool making fun of how Ryan Reynolds looks. Is he going to make fun of this? So I just headed off at the pass and I go, I want you guys to know that I am not going to make fun of him at all. And it's this huge laugh because all the tension is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of interact with him and it's fun and I call him, but then he interrupts me again. So I kind of incorporated him to the show and then I started to incorporate him more. And then he would ask the question. Then he had the funniest line. I said, what's your favorite part of the special? And he said the funniest thing possible. And at the end, the closer is him and me kind of, you know, fucking with like another guy that was sort of the villain of the show named Trevor. Perfect name for a villain in the yeah. audience. And it just, it became, the show was about lifting this guy up and about how it's just that night. And I think the luckiest thing about it is it really shows me as a stand-up comic because like you, I'm going to improvise, I'm going to go off, I'm going to talk with the audience, I'm going to talk about what happened that day to me or an experience I had in that particular city. And so I just realized this is not a pandemic special anymore. This is about Jonah. And so I said, well, we got to name it Dear Jonah. We thought of different stuff, but yeah. And I think it's great.
Did you? It is great. And obviously, it can't be planned that he was in the audience.
No.
So
I mean, how insane would I be?
Well,
I was like,
you know, the way stand-up...
Crazy like a fox.
Yeah, yeah, crazy.
The way stand-up
like
specials
an evil fox.
Work is you go out and work that material for a few years, and then, boom, it's in a...
Exactly.
It's almost like you're reading a teleprompter by the time you're ready to shoot the special because you've worked the material so hard. But
yeah.
then this curveball named Jonah shows up in the first row
or yeah.
front of the club. And so then you watch it and you know it all has to be genuine in real time. Did you talk to Jonah after the show? Have you stalked him since the
yeah,
special came out?
I mean, in the – no. But in the – and he was a huge fan. I would find afterwards that he came. His parents dropped him off and he was there at 4 p.m. alone waiting in line because he loved me so much in Deadpool, which he talks about in the special. But also he said to me, I came and saw your stand-up before, but I was way in the back. I was in the balcony. And he said it was so good. So I knew I had to come back and I had to be in the front row. And so he was literally the closest person to me. When I looked at it, he was at a stage that he had them push against the stage.
He was on a table.
Yeah,
a table
that he pushed. You know, the table is some ways the stage for drinks.
Yeah, I guess
it's,
you're
it's
right.
their
you're
place to shine.
Sometimes a footstool.
It's their footstool. I put drinks on a footstool. That's the foot stage. And so he was just that intensely excited about it. So this must be – it was the most amazing thing. He was just so excited. And I said, you know, we're going to cut it up and put it together. And he was just so excited. And then at the end of the special, if you see the end of the special, he kind of talks about it. And then he teases me a little bit. He's like, you're still pretty funny, even though your HBO special wasn't good, kind of is what he was saying. And then he kept looking at his watch. And I went in to say something else. And he's like, all right, man, I'll see you later. And kind of tapped me and was like, yeah, I've had enough of this fucking conversation. I've got stuff to do. I need to get home and look at videos of dogs. Because he loves dogs.
You're saying dogs, because I was thinking about dogs, because I think I love seeing my dog because my dog just likes the fact that I'm there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not
yes.
much attached to it other than I'm here, you're here, we're here. Let's get a little tail wagon going.
Yeah, it's like the Norm MacDonald Hitler had a dog that was so excited.
That's right.
Yeah, so excited. So excited. And it... And then we respond to it because there's kind of a purity to it. Like,
it's authentic. For sure.
Yes, yeah. It's just there.
Yeah.
And in a way, I think in a time, especially now when everyone's up in their head and they're angry tweeting at everyone yeah. and stuff like that.
And self-conscious and anxious.
This guy like Jonah just seems pure. Like, he's just there. He wants to laugh.
You know we're fucked when the buzzword of the day, when you see it all over Instagram, it's so wholesome. Like, that's a word that we're just striving for, something that's just sweet and not going to fuck with our heads later.
But I tell me if this is shifted. Like, you can tell me. Like, there was a time when I felt sorry for the dog and Jonah. Now I'm kind of envious.
I've always been envious.
That guy gets to just wag his tail and go right on through his life.
You always have to be envious. I mean, that ignorance is bliss. It's like you look at a cat and you're just like, God, you don't give a fuck about anything.
Live in the moment.
You don't give a shit about any of this stuff. The only thing you care about is being the right temperature. Mm. That's your whole life.
It's all temperature.
It's just figuring out how to be in a situation that is the perfect temperature for you.
Yes.
But I think that here's what was so pure about it.
How old is Jonah?
You see this? I think he's in his like late 20s. You know what I mean? He's still a young guy, but he's definitely not like in his mid 30s or something. But a couple of times, you know, I react to it. But there's one time when I finish doing a bit and people finish laughing, and then he looks around and then he's like, hilarious. Because he is. He's like, that's hilarious. Of course we're going to say it, you know?
Right.
And so he's also not inhibited by social mores or the constraints of people going like, you don't talk during this thing. Because in his mind, he's like, well, I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying it's hilarious. And so I also think it's funny that I was so cynical that all of us would have been to think, oh, this guy's drunk and he's interrupting the show and he's going to fuck up my stand-up special. And then it ends up being that it's actually his stand-up special and he wasn't drunk and he was not fucking up anything. In fact, he made it possible for me to do a special that's different. I mean, if I was just another white guy who released a stand-up special, even if it was amazing and different and nose flute and all that kind of stuff, then I don't know that it could get a ton of
flute.
What?
In it. Nose flute.
Yeah, nose flute.
I just want to let the audience who hasn't experienced it yet to know
who hasn't played a nose flute.
You play the nose flute in it.
Yeah. So thank goodness it's like it is something it's never been done before and it'll never be done again. And so it's amazing that we kind of caught that particular, but it is, it's cool. And people have been saying, not wholesome, but they've been like, it was really great at the end. It was really touching. And I think that is fun. And, you know, it's something, I put it this way. Kate kept saying over and over.
Your wife.
Yeah. Kate kept saying over and over. She goes,
supplied you with a nose flip.
She did. And then, well, the face shield.
Yes.
The very subtle face
Another
shield.
Another part of the special.
And she said, well, this really shows the shape of your heart. And I say, that sounds fucking stupid, Kate. Take that goddamn language outside the apartment. God damn it. But she's kind of right. And it is really fun to have a special where you're like, man, this guy's like a good dude.
How much of your life is stand-up now versus writing, acting?
There's been an interesting turn of events just in the last 3 months, but I'm sort of all in on stand-up and also trying to build, even just with social media stuff, trying to build an understanding in America that I'm a stand-up comic, because so many people I think are I'm famous to them because of my acting. And so I think so many people just don't know, and they're not following me on social media. So they just don't know, or they see an Instagram ad for me doing stand up and they're like, huh? Oh, well, maybe that's a Jeremy Piven thing. You know, maybe
one
that's just,
crossovers.
He's an actor. Yeah. So I don't want to waste my money just to go see him as a person. So I've really been focused on that and shot, I think I talked to you about this, it's sort of an unprepared thing. I shot a totally, well, it's kind of like your show that we did on the Daily Wire, where I got names of jokes from the audience and then I see them and improvise the bit right there in front of the audience. And they see the name of the bit for the first time also. So I was doing that to try and get some stuff together for online content. Then I said, let's just shoot a special. So I actually shot two completely separate hour specials in 3 weeks.
How's the YouTube treating you, and is that kind of where we're heading? And I discuss this with a lot of comedians, which is there was, people wanted to get on Showtime, then they wanted to get on HBO, then they wanted to get on Netflix, right. And then now there's a kind of wild west of shoot your shit, put it out. People will find it if it's good.
I think it's great. And I also, because of connections in Hollywood and work that I've done before, like on the Gore Burger show, I sort of was able to find my way to a director who's amazing. Because you saw it. It looks great.
Yeah.
And who, but could do it really cheaply. And so I said, well, then let's shoot two of them. If you can do it for this cheap, let's shoot two of them. I had 2 hours, probably more, banked. And so I did a special called The Philosophy Circus in Tampa 3 weeks after I did Dear Jonah in Nashville. And I think that that was just something I had to do. I've got the other one in the can. I'm going to release that probably in March. And then I'm going to shoot another special in March. So that's how much work I'm doing with my stand-up right now. But then out of the blue, this huge production company was looking like huge, like involved in Marvel, stuff like that. They were looking for a Christmas movie. And my buddy, out of the blue, months before I found this out, had an idea for a Christmas movie. And he told me, and you know when somebody goes, like we were in an actual elevator, and he was the husband of my wife's friend. So you know how if those people, you're always kind of being forced by the women to be like, you guys should be friends. You should work on something together. And he's incredibly funny, but he's a composer. He writes rock operas. He's a musician. And I was in the elevator and his wife says, Jay, you should tell TJ your idea for a Christmas movie. And I said, oh shit. Yeah. I was just right. Like, fuck, now 20 minutes of my life is gone. He's going to have some stupid idea for a movie. And he kind of didn't want to, but then he goes, yeah, it's actually a Christmas movie. And then I was like, oh, well, great. There goes 40 minutes of my, there are no good Christmas movies. That's why there's only been like 4 good ones in the last 50 years. And so he tells me the idea for the Christmas movie. I'm like, that's the fucking greatest idea I've ever heard in my life. That's really? So fucking unbelievable. But when he told me, I said, I mean, great. That's so awesome. But I have no one to pitch it to. And I've been in a Christmas movie already.
Which one was your Christmas
movie? So I can't go to Office Christmas Party.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I can't go to Steven Spielberg and say I have an idea for a Christmas movie because he's like, yeah, we already put you in one. So then I find out that this production company, these huge, powerful directors, were looking for a Christmas movie. And I said, this is fucking insane. And so I went and I kind of soft pitched it. And then they gave us like a real pitch. We did that at the end of June. They loved it. And now just at the end of September, they kind of said, hey, we can't give you the budget that I think you would have wanted. But if we give you this budget, which is a mid-range studio budget, it's crazy, then, you know, if you can reimagine it like that, then we'll do the movie with you. And I'm the star of it also. So I'm writing it and I'm starring in it. And it should be really amazing. And, you know this as much as anybody, except, you know, you produce most of your films. There, from pitch to premiere, there's 1,000 ways the movie cannot be made.
Sure.
You know, and really only a few ways that it will be made. And so we have no idea what's going to happen. But this one feels like a lot of things are lining up in a way that's – I know these directors from the beginning of my career. I kind of – you know, we were going to pitch it to Michael Bay, but he was kind of giving me the runaround. And so then I kind – then he wanted to hear it, and I was kind of blew him off because that doesn't really make sense. And then we're pitching it to somebody who works with Seth MacFarlane, but it's not an animated thing. But it could be puppets. And so there's other options, but it's really this particular production company that's interested in doing it that I think we want to do it with. And so I'm really, really excited. So I think that's going to be the deal. Because I wrote a limited series about the pandemic, which is great. And I think I'm going to make that because it's so cheap. It's just one location. So that I'm going to do. But right now, the majority of my anything, film and television, all of that focuses on this one movie.
How's your Ryan Reynolds relationship? Or do you have one? I worked with him on Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Yeah.
I think of 200 million years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I found him to be the nicest guy ever. But that was pre-celebrity.
It was pre-celebrity. I got along a lot better with him on the first Deadpool.
Oh, really?
because he wasn't a huge, huge movie star. Uh-huh. He was sort of a movie star who'd kind of struck out a few times.
Most notably
with Green Lantern.
In a world where you don't get usually more than one bite at the apple, I mean, we've talked about it before, but they will let you, they'll make you the star of a movie, and if that movie doesn't perform, that's normally it.
That was your shot.
It doesn't have to be your fault. It just is. And he got a lot of bites at the apple. He did a lot of movies.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because he's so handsome?
I think he's handsome. I think he's very talented. And
he's very funny.
I think people were able to kind of separate him from the project, where normally you just get lumped in with the project. And then that sort of – and also Hollywood does a lot of like – you make a volcano movie and it dies at the box office. No more volcano movies for the next 50 years. And it's like, although two came out in the same year. But what I'm saying is you make a movie. I was doing Top Gear for ABC when they inexplicably relaunched Knight Rider. like Knight Rider 2.0. David Hasselhoff, part two, talks to his car. And everyone looked at everyone like, of course, this is schlock. This was schlock. It was like Land of the Lost, the feature. You know, this was schlock when I was a kid. Now it's more schlock. Came out, died 1,000 deaths. Of course it would in modern times.
We all talked to our car.
We did a really good pilot called the American Top Gear pilot. And then it was like, no more car show.
Can't do it.
And it's like, this is not that. And that's how they do it.
I don't think it's anything to do with him being handsome. How many? You guys remember Sam Worthington? He starred in the most famous, or excuse me, the most successful film of all time, Avatar. What has he done since? I mean, Avatar 2. He's headlined the most successful movie ever. And he's a handsome bastard, and we barely remember his name.
Well, I hate to, but it might be because he's filming an Avatar right now, and films it for years.
For 14 years,
you know what I mean? I mean, it might be that you can be the Avatar person, but you can. It's like getting a commercial, like being the progressive
Flo.
Girl, Flo, right? Mm-hmm. I think that Adam Carolla is one of my favorite people. I think that Ryan Reynolds, Kate thinks he's super frenemy with me, or even just that he hates me. I could see him hating me. But I said on Hot Ones, I went on Hot Ones, and I said that, what was great about Deadpool is they covered up his handsome face because he's so distracting. He must know this, but it's so distracting to look at him, and guys don't want to laugh at him because he looks like the guy that fucked your high school girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And then girls don't really want to laugh at him. They just think he's cute, so they'll just look at him. Like Ryan Gosling. Girls don't care if he is talking or acting.
Accurate.
Yeah, so exactly. But he's such a good comedian that when you cover his face, he's so quick, he's so funny. So I love him as a comedian. But I think after he got super, super famous from the first Deadpool, then things kind of changed. I think he was like, see, you guys see. And then I think I don't know. I mean, would I work with him again? No.
No.
I would not work with him
that
again.
Much vitriol.
But I've said that about Michael Bay, and now we're friends, and I would work with him again. But I think Michael Bay is different. And Michael Bay worked on a movie with Ryan Reynolds also. And so he has a very specific opinion.
That may mirror
of Ryan Reynolds. And so, and that was a good part of our last conversation with me and Bay. But I sort of wish him well because he's so good at Deadpool. And I think it's weird that he hates me.
I think some people know he hates you.
We had a really weird moment on Deadpool where he said, let's do one more take. And everyone was like, okay. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And then as the character, he was like horrifically mean to me. But to me.
cathartic. But
as if I'm Weasel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he was like, you know what's great about you, Weasel? You're not the star, but you just, you know, you do just enough exposition that it's funny, and then we can leave and get back to the real movie.
So he's riffing.
Well, he's right.
Obviously.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's exactly why he said that.
How much riffing?
Because I'm not funnier than he is at all. Right? And I haven't been in more movies than him. Yeah,
don't
exactly.
agitate the guest, Brian. How much riffing was done?
A lot. And he's a great improviser.
And how you know much of it and made the cut?
A lot of it. And then the stuff that they kept and you see in the reel, it's a lot of it is what he's doing. I'm riffing. Also, the two the writers were so incredible. But that's what's weird about him. And I've met other people that can confirm this. He did that and it was weird. And it doesn't bother me. I mean, just like Ryan. Is it Ryan or Brian?
Me.
Yeah.
Brian.
Okay. I always forget.
He's so very forgettable.
Yeah. Understandable.
And so, you know, as Ryan was saying,
son of a bitch.
So, you know,
what went south in that moment? Did you react to it?
I just kind of listened and thought it was weird. And then I got off stage because then they finally were like, cut. And then I got off stage and I walked over and the whole crew was acting weird. And then I went up to Kate and I was like, that was weird, right? And she was like, of course it was fucking weird. It was insane. It was insane. And everybody was looking at each other like, what the fuck is he doing? And so that was not a great experience for me. And a couple of people, you know, I, for the most part, when I do a film or on a television set, the crew really enjoys me because I'm nice to everybody and I'm also funny. And after a take, everybody starts laughing once they cut. And I sort of laugh and enjoy and talk to everybody. And I'm just not sure every, you know, movie star does that.
But how was that a breaking point for your relationship?
Because why would he do that? And why do I want to work with somebody?
He knows he did it, but did you call him out or did you have a discussion with him?
No, what would be the use of that?
And it would be so easy to deny. Like, I don't know. I'm just trying something new.
I'm not talking. Yeah, that's why he did it like that.
But you felt it coming from
everybody
him.
Everybody did. That's why it was awkward. Everybody was like, why is Ryan doing this? And the other weird thing is like, maybe he got, you know, I think he's kind of an insecure dude. He's really nice, but I mean, his Twitter bio is, showing you the parts of me that focus tested the best in focus groups. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that he's joking. So, I think that might actually be his real sentiment there. But again, he's so funny and he did this movie and he's worked so hard to get this movie made and it's people's favorite movie. I mean, it's a get a tattoo of it level movie.
It's really it's got a lot of great stuff, but it's that stuff with you and he in the bar. It's just great. The best. And it's some of the funniest stuff ever filmed.
Yeah. And so I think that maybe there was some part of him that frustrated him. I can't begin to guess what his deal is.
That you were getting as many, maybe more accolades from
the movie? Yeah, I think there's some of that, which doesn't make any sense to me because I love when other people get laughs. You know, I think it's great when the two of you get laughs. No one else really on the show does.
But, Ryan doesn't.
You know, Ryan never does. And yeah, crying Ryan, that's what they
but
used to call
him. Know, would you think that he would know there was a riff with you guys?
I think so. Or he's so deluded that he's like, you know, everybody loves me. Everybody likes me. So TJ probably just wishes that he could work with me again. Bay's like that too, though. Wahlberg talked to me about that, who like, Bay would never understand why you wouldn't want to work with him.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't make sense. Everybody wants to work with him. And that's also kind of true. So I think some people aren't totally self-aware. But I wouldn't, you know, other places have been like, are you in Deadpool 3? What's the deal? Can you talk about it? And it's like, I would not have done Deadpool 3 if they came to me and they were like, we want you to do Deadpool 3 and we're going to pay
just
you twice as much.
Over that one incident?
It's that. There's that certainly component, but really the real reason, the same reason I left Silicon Valley, which is I don't really think you should do something for more than 5 years. I think it's weird to just go back and play Weasel at like 10 years later or something like that.
He's been doing Avatar for 14 years.
I know, exactly. Here we go, Ryan, again with these Avatar references. Yikes. Can we get another Avatar for you?
Do you think, how much of this, you tell me, then we'll be done with Ryan Reynolds. His wife is
Blake Lively.
Yes. Is there a component where you have this much douche and that much douche, and then we create three douches out of the two douches?
Together, we're just a little douche, but or separately, yeah,
versus
but together, we're mega
marrying
douche.
The civilian. Mm. Or I don't know. I don't know what her vibe is. I never seem to hear her interviewed very
likeable.
Much.
Likeable is her vibe.
Mm-hmm. Likeable, well, and you know, on there,
I don't know. Do you know?
I had occasion to, I only met her once, but I had occasion to look at her pregnancy pictures that she showed so that the paparazzi would go away. So that, and I think both of them, their public image is very well curated. That's really all I know to say about that.
Let me, because you said that the brand is likable.
Mm hmm. Mm.
Yeah, the brand is likable. I mean, I don't wish them any ill will. No. I think he should make a Deadpool 3 and continue to make movies. I just think he doesn't like me, and I thought it was weird how he expressed that. Because I'm at a place in my life where I don't need to do Deadpool 3 to possibly keep. And I don't think – I left Silicon Valley because I was like, no one's favorite season of a television show is season 7. No one is like Breaking Bad for me. Best season was season 8. It's just, it's not true. And so I also think the danger of doing a third, that was the other thing. And when I tell people this, they're like, what are you talking about? And then when I sort of explain it, they go, oh. I think when you do a third installment of a movie, it can completely ruin the first movie.
Oh, and the first movie.
What I say to everybody is, why don't more people say, oh, the funniest movie I've ever seen is Hangover? Because Hangover 3 ruined it. Mm-hmm. All of us saw Hangover 3 and we're like, I hate you. I hate you guys for doing this. I feel dirty. You Sully clearly just took my money. Sully the franchise. And then I say also, when has there ever been a third great movie?
Jaws.
Sort of.
No.
But I mean, really think about it. And the only person.
Godfather didn't know. One
no,
and two
everyone
were great.
Hated.
Three was.
Everyone
yeah,
Marvel
you're
movies
right.
Movies have kind of wiped that out.
You're right.
But I know what you mean.
I think the problem.
No, but Marvel movie, those, the, none of those are. They didn't do a Captain America 3.
Sure.
I think the problem with optics are everyone thinks
it's
you
Return
want
of the Jedi,
to
by the
do
way. The
you want to do whatever as long as you can possibly
Lord of the Rings
do it.
The
you know,
Oscars.
And they don't get the part even when I quit the man show. They go, oh, but you wanted to do like it doesn't comport with anyone's version of Hollywood because Hollywood is always money, 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 milk, money, milk it, money. So if you just go, I just walked away after season, whatever, they go, you mean you got fired?
Bullshit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like we can't, Trevor Noah's like, I walked away from the Daily Show. He got fired. You know, we just, it doesn't work that way when you work at a fucking muffler shop. Like Hank yeah. quit the Mighty Muffler.
He was
let go.
He was let go for not muffling enough.
Yes.
More, he did more shuffling than muffling. I think you're a maverick in that way, but I think you're absolutely right. We must have talked about this. But when I quit Silicon Valley, they were so great. HBO was so great because they said, well, we wanted you to do like 3 episodes out of 10. Would you like to do that? Or you could do 4 episodes. And I was like, I really think this is the right time to leave. And I think it's so funny for Ehrlich to be stuck in an opium den for the rest of time. And it just did not compute with them. It didn't compute because what I tell everybody about this is the vibe was, what? But don't you want to buy a boat?
Right.
Like, don't you want a boat? And I'm kind of going, no, I want to be a Manhattan stand-up comic and live with my very cool wife in New York City. That's what I want. Not to like sleepwalk through 2 more years of this thing and have maybe people be like, Ehrlich used to be really funny, but like those last 2 seasons, it wasn't good anymore.
Well,
I don't want to do that. I don't want to sully my performance on that. I don't want to fuck up the show.
I don't.
Those are the 2 things. But I left, and of course, everyone is like, hmm. Well, yeah, did he really leave or they let him go? I heard he's really crazy.
A Millerectomy, like a Corollaectomy.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what they said.
But we've both had that experience, and you're the type of guy who will leave something because I don't think there's any part of you that's like, I don't know what I'd be without this thing.
Well, okay, couple things. First
Except
off,
for cars.
I did 100 episodes of The Man Show.
It's a lot of episodes.
It's a lot of episodes. So Jimmy and I just looked at each other and went, 100. We did 100. We said what we wanted to say. And so, number one. Number two, you know, whenever they're talking about bad jobs, like when you have those people, like when you're talking about some family member that had that fucking shitty job where he just worked at the Baldwin Locomotive Factory in South Philly
for
53 years. Yeah, Baldwin Locomotive was like the big industry in Philly. When my dad, you know, got out of high school, and like you, all the losers would just go to work for Baldwin Locomotive, and then you'd be there for 49 years, and you'd get your watch, and you'd go home and die. And so, like, everyone went like, "Oh, part of a shit job is the pay and the perks, but the other part is just going to the same place for 50 years." And when you look at people who are living your Elon Musk type of life, like, oh, one minute he's building a Tesla, then he's building a rocket, then he's buying Twitter. You know, it's like this crazy variety. So you have to realize that pay is pretty good and perks are pretty good, but showing up to the same place your whole life is not that doesn't. My grandmother worked for the VA in Westwood for 40 years. She hated it. She didn't get the pay. And she didn't get the perks, and she had to go to the same place like every day. And so in terms of a job, the variety within the job, doing stand-up, doing a feature, doing a film,
well, and
doing
radio.
A podcast, radio doing radio,
always
writing
every
a book,
single,
like, whatever that thing is, it's the variety part.
You tell that to Vanna White.
Right. Hmm. And I think you would look at her as sort of a... Now, it'd be a little condescending. You'd go like, well, what else was she going to do? Was she going to write a movie about Christmas with Michael Bay? I don't think so. But you look at it as kind of sad in a weird way. Like she had to just go to the same place and we could watch her age. Like there were like flip cards of a tree dying.
Jesus.
And I love her dearly. She's a dear friend. No, I just mean
the
we
teeth
just
get whiter.
We just watch you fall, essentially decompose since 1987. What? All right, that sounds like, or you can go to Pat Sajak, and you can go. It's gainful employment at a high margin for tax wise, but you're not bored of standing in the same place and doing the same thing and watching Vanna age.
And my father-in-law, he watches Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy every single night. It's like that's what he does while he's drinking and making food, and that's his deal, man. Salmon and fucking Riesling nonstop. And so he loves it. And so to a certain extent, I'm like, Sajak and White, which is, you know, that's the name of their band also. Yeah. They they're doing something that is so important to so many people. So maybe you get a sense of that a little
bit. Well, let me compliment you and make up for Brian.
Please.
Is it Brian?
I don't think that Vanna White wanted to go out and test the open waters.
Mm.
I don't think she wanted to say, you know what? I've done this for 7 years. Now I'm going to go out and hang my own shingle somewhere. Yeah. I think she understood she had to hang on. I have a feeling with people like you, and I won't mention myself.
And people like
I'll
mention
Trevor Noah and people like that. They go, you know what? I think I have enough in the talent tank to walk away from a franchise and go do something else.
It's a big deal to be a stand-up also. That's really, really a big part of what makes us be able to do that because we always know we can do stand-up. Trevor Noah's like that. And so I think that's why I was so excited about stand-up and doing acting because every single audition that I would go into I had nothing to lose. There's no part of me that's like, I got to get this part. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to make rent. That just wasn't a part of my reality. And I think that really helped. And I actually think this is kind of why this movie is probably going to be the deal is that, you know, now all the auditions are over Zoom.
Oh, right.
And, or you self-tape.
Oh.
And I always got hired because I'm good in the room. Because I'm used to live comedy, and so I'm doing a little performance. But when I do the tape of it, it's just so flat. And that's why we said, all right, we're going to pitch this thing. And my agents were like, well, why don't you just do it over Zoom? Because you live in New York. And I was like, I didn't say this to her, but I wanted to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Are you insane? We have a movie that we're pitching. We need $200 million. It could make $1 billion. And you want us to kind of do that over the computer?
Well, the jet
in our living
flight's $700.
Yeah, so. We could afford it.
Yeah, no,
I was like, this is that big. You got to go and be in the room.
I first recognized you when you auditioned for Yogi and Boo Boo with an actual bear.
Brian knows what we're talking about.
I was like, this guy is committed. He is pot committed. All right, let me hit concrete here. Your body makes half the creatine it needs. The other half comes from your diet, but most American diets are low in creatine-rich foods, and that's where Concrete comes in. Patented creatine, HCL, favorite creatine of elite, well-informed athletes. It's the number one bioavailable creatine. It's the only microdosing creatine. Just one small scoop per 100 pounds. Shake it up. It comes with a little scooper. It's got a nice lemony flavor, and you feel the energy immediately.
That's true. I've had that experience.
It is 100% true with Concrete. Dr. Drew swears by this as well. Creatine is required for functional energy, and every cell in your brain uses about 20% of the creatine in your body. So if you want to be sharp and fast, you get yourself some Concrete, right, Dawson?
Take control of your health, both body and mind. Take control of your health, both body and mind. Build a better you with Concrete. Register now at con-crete.com/podcast. That's con-crete.com/podcast for a chance to win a $500 Walmart Visa gift card, available now online and in-store Walmart. Concrete is truly life-changing and performance-enhancing.
All right, TJ's
going to... I'm so excited for Everything Reminds Me of Something. And I think that's one of the greatest titles for a book I've ever heard, and it is so perfectly you.
Oh, thanks. We'll give you the...
Isn't it?
We'll
that's exactly one. Adam Carolla is Everything Reminds Me of Something.
Crystallized.
Well, we got a book in the other room, so we'll give it to you.
Yeah, that would be great. Like. Can you sign one for Kate?
Yes. I love
that. That's a big deal. No, I'm serious. She's got a couple of books from people that she really respects and loves. She thinks you're hilarious.
Oh, well, I'd be more than happy to.
And so she has, you'll join the likes of the Winklevoss twins.
Oh, boy. Mm.
Flavor Flav.
Oh, my.
And that's it. She doesn't really respect that many people.
Rarefied air.
She's not that big of a fan of most people that I work with.
A lot of, what I love about the Winklevoss twins is, I don't know, they sued, and I don't know, what, they get $100 million or something?
Yeah, $40 million.
Or whatever it is, whatever that was for their 10 minutes worth of work, they feel like they got jobbed royally, which I just love the way
they
humans can do that.
I have to tell you, we're friends with them, and they did get fucked.
Oh, yeah. But
now look at them. They're Bitcoin billionaires.
Yeah.
And they have the Gemini. They landed on the moon. Landed on their feet on the moon. I also found out from Kate, do you have this experience at all? I found out from Kate that she didn't like my HBO special. And I didn't know that for the longest time. She just didn't mention it. But she thinks it kind of sucks. Isn't that crazy?
That's true. I've had that experience.
Hey, you cut it out in the booth, goddammit.
Maybe she was just talking with Brian. I don't know.
That was Ryan over there doing that.
What?
All right. All right, hold on.
Not even in the booth.
We got
a tube Ryo.
We got a break. We got to do some news, and we'll do that right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff face all on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gino Grad.
News with Gina Grad.
Well, Herschel Walker's son has some things to say about dad. A woman says ex-NFL star and pro-life Senate candidate Herschel Walker paid for her abortion back in 2009, which Walker calls a flat-out lie. But Walker's son has now gotten involved. So the unidentified woman in the Daily Beast story claims she has a receipt, an actual receipt, from the abortion clinic.
Is he denying that's the son?
No, this is the son weighing in on that, which has nothing to do with each other.
Oh, okay.
He's not her son. He's Herschel's son.
Okay, because I could tell by his traps.
Oh, I see.
Herschel's one of those dudes who's got traps.
Oh.
I don't know what happened to traps. They used to be a big thing. But he was like a brick shit house with those crazy traps.
Understood.
So this is his son.
So this is Herschel's son. He said, or the woman said, I have a receipt from the clinic, a signed check from Walker, and a get well card from him after the procedure.
That's a trifecta. That's why I never send the card.
Don't send the card.
Because 2 out of 3. Well, it is bad.
I Venmo the money, number one. Yeah. I go with the paperless receipt.
But you don't put a little baby and a line through it in the Venmo. You just put like a, you know.
No.
Just a car.
I've been to a lot of Hallmark stores. I've never seen that one, but this is why I don't leave a trail.
That's smart.
With greeting cards.
So now Herschel's son Christian has some thoughts about his father. He tweeted, first, I know my mom and I would really appreciate it if my father, Herschel Walker, stopped lying and making a mockery of us. You're not a family man when you left us to bang a bunch of women, threatened to kill us, and had us move over 6 times in 6 months running from your violence. Then he put some of his thoughts into a video. Here's a part of it.
I stayed silent as the atrocities committed against my mom were downplayed. I stayed silent when it came out that my father, Herschel Walker, had all these random kids across the country, none of whom he raised. And you know my favorite issue to talk about is father absence. Surprise, because it affected me. Ooh. That's why I talk about it all the time, because it affected me. Family values, people. He has 4 kids, 4 different women, wasn't in the house raising one of them. He was out having sex with other women. Do you care about family values? I was silent lie after lie after lie. The abortion card drops yesterday. It's literally his handwriting in the card. They say they have receipts, whatever. He gets on Twitter. He lies about it. Okay, I'm done. Done. Everything has been a lie.
Jesus Christ.
He does a lot of the touching different fingers to make points and to tell you how many things.
I tend to believe him. He was just animated.
He was touching those fingers.
Yeah. He touched those fingers. Helps. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, with that much palm to palm contact, the truth is out there.
Yeah. He
doesn't seem like a drama queen at all.
Is he gay?
That's what I was just sort of.
How could one tell?
Well, one has inklings.
He might be non-binary, and he just has sex with men.
I thought he had a gay son.
He had a flourish about him, I think.
He what?
I think he had a flourish about him.
Yeah. I don't know if he's gay or not.
I don't either.
God, that guy's got a crazy genetic hand. I mean, it's this crazy physique and these piercing blue eyes.
Yeah, he does.
Wait, Herschel or the kid?
The kid.
I was going to say, Herschel has blue eyes?
Yeah, no, Herschel has a genetic hand insane.
But there was a lot of this to it, and that doesn't help it sound any more true or real, okay? Yes. I'm over it. I'm done. I'm out. I don't have any flatware or anything in my kitchen. It's an empty, barren kitchen, okay? Mother Hubbard's not even allowed in here. It's all lies that IKEA tells you.
I assume my kids will make some videos that are of the same ilk. I won't say verbatim, but I mean,
because they can't find the greeting cards.
That's right.
You don't leave that trail.
I didn't leave a trail.
You're smart.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, if this kid, I'm inclined to believe this child.
I'm inclined to believe
him
too.
For sure. Can we talk about another football player? Can we please talk about the latest antics of Antonio Brown?
What'd he do?
Really?
You watched TMZ? Oh, you were in Zion. Okay, so he was reportedly caught exposing himself and acting crazy at a pool in Dubai. And there's a video of it. It was shared by the New York Post. Actually, let's just watch the video.
You probably
first.
Got paid you can to put go it, out there. You were in Zion, Indiana.
Put the sound on.
Yeah.
So he's. Go ahead and put the sound on if you have it.
That's where my hot sauce is.
Okay.
He's
showing his butt to this girl. He's totally naked in the pool. She's kind of laughing it off. They're all people out there egging him on. He's snapping stuff on her. He picks her up.
This is former NFL wide receiver Antonio Brown.
Throws her down in the pool. But wait, the piece de resistance is coming.
She doesn't know him.
No. She gets away and check out that it was quick and it was pixelated, but just what seems like, to his credit, a massive schlong.
Oh,
showing the ladies.
You think that's big?
Or he has really small hands.
You think that's big? Then you'll think my dick is really small. You think that's big?
So the woman was pissed. She was found later, like, screaming about it in the hotel. And as we know, he's known for antics. Didn't he famously quit the Bucks in the middle of a game?
That did happen.
Yeah, he did. He did
among
a bunch of
things.
I mean, he's suffering from something mental.
Yes. He removed a portion of his uniform and danced off the field shirtless in 2-degree weather.
Yeah, there's something when you're crazy and you have a great physique, it leads to trouble because when you get angry, fat guys don't immediately take their shirt off when they get angry, but guys with no waist and a six pack, the shirt somehow, that's what happens. Yeah. So his shirt and pads come off and everyone, it's weird. It's a kind of a version of, like I've always said, if you can dance, all is forgiven. So, like, and it said, you know, Michael Jackson, like, oh, he molested all those kids. Yeah, but that guy could move.
Yeah.
You know, or they go, Chris Brown, what he did to Rihanna was a crime again. Yeah, but that dude can move. Like, they do that. And so you
the
go.
The better you dance, the more they don't
also,
care,
if you go nuts and you look amazing with your shirt off, so it'd be like, that guy quit in the middle of a Tampa game. He had a complete. He looks good, though.
I know. Did you see that?
We do. You have to stop in the middle and talk about.
Give credit where credit is due.
How good his physique looked or how big his hog was. So,
his hog.
It's not a bad strategy if you're him, but he's clearly nuts. The thing that's interesting about men and women is men get angry in the moment. So if the dude is in the pool and you're fucking with him with your huge black dick, guys are like, dude, back off. I'll fuck you up. You know, whatever. Yeah. I'm a brown belt and whatever. Women are trained to kind of laugh during the time.
It's a survival technique.
And then they go back to the hotel room and they go into a blind rage.
There's a reason for that.
Yes.
Because you're not going to out strength Antonio Brown. You have to go, oh, you, and then deal with it later.
Yeah, but I would argue that there's a version in the middle where you go, hey, you cross the line. Like, get away from me. I'm going to go talk to somebody about it. There's a thing where a rage builds up because you then replay it, you relive it, you feel victimized, and then pow. She got angrier as she got further away from the pool.
I think that not everybody feels like she doesn't necessarily feel like she could be like, hey, quit, you know, don't do that. And then there's always the weird thing that, like, if she knows who she is, maybe the beginning of that is like fun.
Yeah.
You know? It's like
whoa. He's a celebrity. We're joking around, but then shit takes a turn.
She knows who he is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. She knows him. So you don't have any idea, but you shouldn't really be showing your hog to women that you don't know.
Yeah. Also,
thank you so much.
I thought Dubai had,
Brandon,
had
that
more
was
rules.
That was
well, that's the that's closer. Exactly what I was thinking. Didn't we do a story years ago where a couple was on vacation there and kissed on the beach and got arrested? Antonio Brown?
Christian Walker describes himself online as queer and conservative.
Queer what? And conservative?
Queer-servative.
Queer conservative. The good news is
that's true. I've had that experience.
There are, if you're an athlete or karate, you know, champion or washed up in whatever your field of endeavor is, or even a Lindsay Lohan place. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of countries that have money that
would
be more
you.
Than happy
yes.
for you to come over and hang out.
I think that's what I was going to say. I think he definitely got paid to go there.
I don't know if you're planning your future. You know, we don't really have porn to fall back on or Playboy spread, but we might have Dubai.
I think so.
You could definitely show up at some point in your 60s and just kind of go, I've been exiled. Ryan Reynolds pretty much him and Bay said no more working in Hollywood, but I can come here for a few bucks and hang out.
But I'm huge at the Dubai Mall.
Yeah.
I can be a mall Santa Claus because of my Christmas movie.
Yeah.
That's right. Some Randy Sheik.
All right, let's do one more.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you said that because there is another scandal. We talked about the chest, the possible anal beads. By the way, I just want to throw this in. We talked about this chest scandal, and the rumor going around was that a guy had, like, Morse code anal beads, which was telling him what to do.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Not by another person, by an algorithm on a computer. Because remember, we were saying, well, who's smarter than the best chess master
in
the
world? We said
that
he didn't play the chess. Grand champion, I think, when we were doing the news. Well, but I think he did beat the guy.
Yeah.
The guy refuses to play
what
again.
What Gina's saying, the question was, why isn't the guy telling him what to do playing?
The guy, the man behind the curtain.
Right. I'm just backtracking. Yes. But anyway,
well, let's talk about this news scandal. It has hit the world of fishing. Jacob Runyon, and Chase Kaminsky were competing in the championship event at the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Tournament on Friday in Cleveland. And the tournament judge, Jason Fisher, estimated that the five fish in question should have weighed about 20 pounds, but they weighed 34 pounds and something was a little sus. Fisher suspected foul play, cut them open, discovered they were filled with lead balls inside.
Wow.
There's no sanctity.
No.
Thank you. Here is the moment where that is discovered and the eruption that it causes.
So they were cheating?
Oh, yeah.
Please spell it.
We got
bread.
Weights and fish.
There we go.
Angry.
We got weights and fish.
Where's the other one?
Oh, they're going to do all the fish.
Yep, that's right.
I heard about this story.
Why did they hold them up so they all hit the ground?
Oh, people are angry.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it honest.
There is no sanctity. That's pretty crazy that they were just like, what's going to happen?
A couple. Yeah. All right.
They got greedy, too.
One is...
they've done half as many.
If you're going to cheat in a marathon, like if the male record for a marathon is 2 hours, 4 to 4, 6, 2 hours and 5 minutes is probably 5, 6 minutes, probably the marathon. And I'm going to cheat and I'm going to run across the park. I don't want to be there in 81 minutes.
Right.
You know, because people are going to go, you beat the Kenyans by 47 minutes? I want to time it so I just beat the first Kenyan, not smash the record by
2 hours,
an hour.
3 minutes, right, yeah. Exactly.
Because that's good. Now, okay. So you're going to win if you get to 21 pounds. So your job when putting weight into the fish is to go 21 3 ounces, not 34 pounds. Of the only human beings on the planet who can size up a walleye are all there.
Yeah, exactly.
They're only on the planet.
Yeah, they've all converged.
You know, it's not like you got my dad and my stepdad going, I don't know, the fucking walleye. I don't know, 30 pounds seems right to me. No, this is all these people
they
do. Nobody's eye is trained to size up a walleye like these guys. That's all they do. Mm-hmm. They have one mission, and that's to weigh in their mind walleye and size them up. So these guys who've looked at 200 million walleyes hanging from scales they're doing in their head. They're going, it's 19, maybe 20 pounds or whatever.
Yeah,
34 pounds. So they immediately have to go, well, stop.
That
does not fit my super experienced walleye eye. Also, it's also weird that this doesn't happen because it's all done by weight. Everyone has the weights in their tackle box. They're just lead weights. Why not just shove it down the mouth of the walleye? I also kind of wonder, like, come on, this had to be going on some scale somewhere. Yeah. Like, you have a tackle box with lead weights in it, and this thing that's going to get weighed, why not in every fishing competition ever just do this? But they went for 34 pounds.
They got greedy.
Mm-hmm.
They did. Maybe they weren't able to put it on a scale to see how much, and they said, well, we just got to put enough to get it over that 23.
Oh, I'm being told that the weights were in fish fillets they used to weigh them down.
There were also fish fillets inside there. That's an also.
Oh, but this is all four of them had way too much, had an extra half pound.
Yeah.
An extra pound, and it went from like 20 to 34, so
14.
three pounds plus.
They threw some
whatever.
Weights, and then they threw in a fillet of walleye into a bass.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what they. Oh, yeah. They just stuffed
other
it. They
fish.
Went full
they were just
pinata.
Like the weight's not enough, so they put other fish
turducken.
Inside the fish.
Turducken style.
Mm-hmm.
That is turducken style, Brian.
See,
so you want to just get enough to get the win, but not to raise the suspicion against the walleye.
Thank you.
I don't know fish.
Thank you for telling us all how to cheat properly.
I know sizes of things, and if someone tells me 13 inches and I'm looking at 7 inches, I will tell you.
Look,
I recycle all my aluminum cans, but before I crush them, there's at least 10 cigarette butts in every single can. You call it the Michigan push. Everybody does it a little bit, but these people were out of hand.
Dawson's, you've never been more correct in your life. Yeah, but don't stuff it with cigarettes because they have virtually no weight. All right. Well, that's what happened. I love that people are outraged.
Yeah.
They're pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of motherfuckers flying
around. It's outrageous.
Well, people...
It is outrageous that they would put weights in a fish. And like you said, not anticipate that they've seriously weighted this fish.
And the guy who originally posted this on Twitter, I'm quoting him. I don't know if this is true. Apparently in these competitions, you catch it, you weigh them, and you throw them back. Uh-huh. So he's extra pissed because he's saying, now, first of all, they filleted all of them. You can't do that. So that was just cruel. And they were going to throw them back with multiple lead balls inside them, giving them lead poisoning, anything else who eats them. So just fucked up on a lot of levels.
True.
Oh, you think they put the lead balls in them while they're still alive?
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. In general, this guy said they weigh them in general and throw them back
in. Right.
But he would have to go along with the ruse, you know, be like, well, there's the weight.
Oh, okay.
Toss it back in the pool.
Yeah, look, the sanctity known as the fishing competition, I will have to talk to my young son about.
Yeah, you're going to have to say
coach what him up.
The country we used to live in and the bass tournaments we used to have.
Have the talk, yeah.
That's right, the fish
have
talk.
Have the fish weight talk.
Are you guys familiar with noodling? You know there's a doc on it, Brian.
Oh,
is
yeah,
catfish?
Yeah.
Will you reach into the mud and pull out the catfish with your hands?
Yeah,
yeah. That's badass.
Not,
gotta see
not
that.
The that's dominion crazy. Of the Jew.
No.
Is that something that you would ever do?
No, I have. I'm wired very delicately and uniquely, which is there's plenty of shit I'll do that seems counterintuitive, but then there's plenty of shit I will not do. And noodling is I don't like hunting. I don't like fishing. I don't like the killing of an animal. I don't want to see, you know, the world's biggest accidents and breaks in backyard wrestling or whatever. I don't want any of that video. I'm appalled at all of it.
I get that. Yeah. I
mean, here's someone catfish noodling.
All right, here we go.
Catfish are fucking disgusting to look
at. Yes.
Delicious to eat.
They just go in and they catch them
by the
with
mouth.
Their hands.
Yeah.
And
they catch them by, they grab they bite their arm.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Right down the pike.
Pull it out.
Yeah. They just pull them out of the river.
And then what do they do with them? Just fill them with lead?
Fill them with weights.
I don't know.
Again, yeah, exactly.
No, as I once explained to Bear Grylls after he ate a giant banana slug or something on Kimmel's show, no excuses for not going down in your lady in the bedroom anymore.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You can't
right.
go too squeamish or I have the smell or I just don't like it. I saw what you ate.
You've tried durian.
You pulled a 30-pound catfish out of a lake with your arm. Yeah. You can spend a little time
the
downstairs. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have delicate sensibilities. It's not a religious exemption.
I was talking to Greg Fitzsimmons. I was just on his show.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me, what is the ideal amount of time to have intercourse, including foreplay?
Mm-hmm.
I wondered what you thought about that. Gina and you too, you know.
I got to tell you, I think people get a little over their skis time-wise. I can tell you, as a guy who used to box, I know what 3 minutes feels like. Especially when you're being pummeled. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you can be empathetic. You're sympathetic.
I'm saying, from doing boxing and doing radio, I know what 5 minutes really is. Like, in radio, 5 minutes is like commercial breaks. Drew and I would just walk down to the bathroom that was furthest away. We'd go to Faraway bathroom because we were bored and we wanted to talk through K-Rock. And we'd stand there and we'd take a piss. And he'd go, oh, you ate asparagus. God damn it, why didn't you say anything? And I'm like, this is funny. And then he'd leisurely walk back. Like, yeah, 5 minutes is all the time in the world.
Yeah.
Go into an MMA fight and spar with someone for 5 minutes. It's a lot of time. So the guys who go like full Sting, you know, 2 hours, what you can get done in 13 minutes is pretty exquisite.
Pretty sizable.
You know, a Kenyan can run 4 miles in 13 minutes. Yeah. So I would say, I'd say, I don't know what you came down with.
What do you think?
I'll say, well, for the actual intercourse, yeah, I'd say 15 will cover it.
I said 17.
Mm. Okay, that's good.
A healthy portion of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's good.
A little bit of foreplay. If you're doing full foreplay, that's what I said. It should be about 3 hours, 17 minutes.
That's right.
Putting the work up front to really make front load those 17 minutes count. What do you think?
With foreplay, I would say that's the thing, though. I'm pretty efficient.
Sex. Started with
sex. I think Adam makes a lot of sense when it comes to the pummeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think my number is going to be the same as my husband's number. I'm good with the actual pummeling, 7 minutes.
Especially when you're dealing with that Antonio Brown.
Oh, well, that is exactly right. You know about the skinny guy.
It's going to go right through.
Yeah.
So
that kind of hog.
Yeah. A little time goes a long way.
Mm.
Yeah.
To his credit. Mm-hmm.
What about with foreplay?
That's the thing. I'm not, I don't think I'm the average lady with that. So you add in the 7 minutes, 9 minutes. No, 15 minutes total.
Yeah,
it's good. 20 maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
mean, you look at pornographic videos, they do that for a living. And 7 minutes is a long
time. It's a long time.
It's weird when you see something and it's going to be like 37 minutes or something. Like, what is happening?
And also, much to my husband's chagrin, even though he's a really good sport, I do the thing that I'm sure a lot of guys aren't into. I make a lot of jokes.
During sex?
Yeah. Because I think, because it's leading up to it, like, it's funny, it's fun. Like,
I don't think he likes that.
He's a good sport.
I go full Ryan Reynolds. I start beating them up off script. You know what I mean? Make it uncomfortable.
Give us an example.
I have never said anything like that at all.
Remind us of what you consider, not dirty talk, but like rough talk.
I had a girlfriend who wanted some dirty talk and rough talk. And I felt like this is embarrassing because I felt embarrassed about it. You know,
makes you a little self-conscious.
I was self-conscious about it. And she kept going, you know, bring it kind of daddy. And I was like, come on, what do you want me to do? Like, oh, you're a little bitch, you know? And she was like, yeah, but you got to really hurt my feelings. Otherwise it's not what she wanted. You know, she don't want me fucking around. She wanted the game face, you know? So I tried a couple times and she's like, come on, you got to really bring it. And I just said, I don't care for your parents.
That's great.
She was like, she got pissed.
That's so great.
And she was pissed, right?
For your parents.
I didn't. And she was like, I'm pissed. I'm like, good. Here we go.
You know,
now it's game on. And she's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, hey, baby, this is what you were asking for. And I just cut to the quick. You know, I went right there.
I went further.
I went further.
I went all the way. You said it's game time. Game's over.
Right, calling you a minx is
not
going to
be enjoyable at dinner.
Who isn't naughty?
Right.
I love that you say, I don't care for your parents. Instead of, I hate your parents or I don't like your parents, I just don't care for your parents.
Yeah.
I've had a difficult, as you're having sex with her, I had a difficult time connecting with your father. I think your mother, in some cases, has been underprotective because you asking me to rough talk your hog head off.
That's right. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it.
To blast
Gina
your
Grad.
Trough with my hog.
That's the news.
White people are dogs.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Now a word from our good friend Jordan Harbinger. The Jordan Harbinger Show, a different kind of sponsor for this episode, the Jordan Harbinger Show. Well, if you're a fan of fascinating podcasts and interesting people, you should definitely check this one out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. Jordan talks with Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter anymore. Man, is he right. Or you go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life, like routine changes to boost productivity or slight mindset tweaks to change how you see the world. Jordan's a good guy. We've had him on many times. I know the man well, and he's worth a listen. We enjoy the show, and we know you will, too. So you can search The Jordan Harbinger Show, that is H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, TJ Miller, I'm going to give some dates for him. He can be found at Tacoma, Washington, Tacoma Comedy Club, Friday and Saturday. Great club, Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville, Kentucky, October 14th, 15th. TJ Miller does not have a website.com is where you go. San Diego, mic drop, October 28th, 29th. They'll be there doing stand-up. And Vegas coming up, Wise Guys.
That's a great club.
November 2nd, and Helium, and St. Louis, and then Tucson, Rialto Theater, December 15th, and Tempe, Arizona. Just go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. And Unapologetic with Amala can be found at PragerU. So until next time, Adam for TJ and Amala. And Ball.
Dear Jonah.
And
check out my special.
Jonah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
On YouTube. Dear Jonah, streaming now. It's only 45 minutes. There's
very
nothing
funny.
Like it. Lightning in a bottle. You got to check it out. Share it if you like it.
And Gina Grant and Bob Ryan, say it. Mahala.
Yes. I'm over it. I'm done. I'm out.
Get yourself a copy of Adam's latest book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Find our books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All this month, celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month with Pluto TV. Watch movies with the biggest stars like Eugenio Derbez in No Eres Tú, Soy Yo, and Luis Gerardo Méndez in Camino a Marte. Plus, Pluto TV has thousands more movies and TV shows and over 45 channels in Spanish, all for free. So download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming today. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.